an insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top pages of football here on this Total Request Thursday. It's NFL Lunch. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Ravens, rookies report July 13th. Veterans on the 20th. First practice is July 21st, as obviously is less than a month from today. We've been talking about the Ravens' offense, and we've been talking about defensive standouts and all of that and how it works. But let's get into, Vinny, some of the topics you want to talk about in regards to special teams, and in particular the specialists there.
Yeah, let's talk about Justin Tucker. Now, I mean, whenever he's done, Bob, if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, he's going to be a Hall of Famer because he's probably one, if not the greatest kicker of all time. But he's been, 2012 was his first year, and now it's 2024, so it's been a while. And I think it's kind of proven a little bit his length is not what it was. Last year, now, he was one of five on 50-plus. 86, the last 2 years, 86%, 86.5. So are we going to have another 86 this year? That's the thing. I mean, because in 2021, Bob, his field goal percentage was roughly 95%. Then he goes down to 86 and now 86 again. And it's all about the 50 pluses. That's what it's about. 2022, 9 of 14. This past year, 1 of 5. So what tells me is all right, the year before, 9 of 14. All right, you know, they gave him a lot of opportunities, and he missed a bunch. And then this past year, they only gave him 5 opportunities because, you know, he's 1 of 5. And then once you start missing them, when you're putting that ball at the 40-some yard line and you miss, field position for the other team is pretty good. And I don't know, they probably went back and looked, Bob, the ones that he missed from 50 plus, did the opponent take it down and score because of field position? Then, you know, it's not worth it. So that's the thing that they're going to have to look at. And his longest field goal between of 50 plus was 50. So leg strength maybe, you know, the last 2 years kind of starting to diminish a little bit. I mean, age gets everybody.
Sure.
But let me just say this. I was there 4 times this summer or in the spring. And Justin Tucker looked awesome. In the 4 days, and they were kicking him all over the place, he missed one in the 4 days. So he was accurate as hell, and he's an accurate as hell kicker, except from 50-plus now, he's, you know, maybe 50% at best.
To that point, in 2016, he was 10 for 10 from 50-plus.
Yeah.
10 for 10. And his career success rate is 90.2. And I'm not trying to, and Vinny's certainly not trying to. I don't want to speak for you. But 3 of the last 4 years, he's been below, percentage-wise, his career average. But to your point, that leg's long. I'm guessing the days of him trying 67-yarders are probably going the way of the dime, unless it's the last ditch trying to win a game or you know what I mean, send it in an overtime situation.
Yeah, because, I mean, Bob, I mean, he's in great shape and everything, but he's not a weightlifter or anything, and I think His leg was super strong, you know, to have the longest field goal kick ever, you know, and that was in 2021. So
when he was 6 for 6 from 50 plus.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of diminished a little bit. So yeah,
not to the concern level though, right?
No. I just think that Harbs, when they go into a game, Bob, it may not be when they're on the 40-some yard line or whatever, and it's 4th and 3 or 4th. They may go for it instead of trying a field goal just because they tried it last year and he missed them.
It's crazy, though, that he's going into his 13th season with the Ravens already.
And but Bob, I mean, the thing about it is if you have a kicker, I mean, if you're a coach and basically, from 50 in, it's a given. He's never missed from 20 to 29. in his career in 13 years. 30 to 39, he's missed three in 13 years. 40 to 49, 115 to 128. So he doesn't miss inside of 50. So that's pretty special. I mean, when you walk out there inside of 50, if he misses, you're shocked.
Right.
And PATs, Bob, he was 51 of 52. For his career, 13 years, Bob, 464, 470. So he doesn't miss PATs either, where a lot of guys, you know, because they moved it back, they're missing. So extremely confident in the guy inside of 50, outside of 50. I think, Bob, if he gets five opportunities again, that'll be the max at most. Unless you know, he gets one, because usually, you know, if you get one, kind of like Hyder, you know, with a batter. He gets a couple hits, you get to play the next game. I think with Tucker, if he makes his first 50, all right, then I'll give you another one. But then if you start missing a couple, then we're going for it.
5880, 105.7 The Fan, out upon lunch here on this Total Request Thursday. Now, what about Jordan Stout? Ravens drafted him out of Penn State a couple years ago. Sam Cook retired. He has taken over. Has there been any drop-off there?
Well, the only thing is he's a big dude. He's an excellent holder for Tucker, and he's got a big leg. The thing about it is last year he had 66 punts, and he averaged 47.8, which is excellent. But his net is 39.2, which is not good enough. Not good enough. And punt return average is 13.5. That either tells me that the coverage units aren't great, or he's kicking too many line drives. He's got to get his hang time's got to be like 4.6, 4.7, somewhere in that vicinity. But he is a big, big dude, and he's a good athlete. Another guy, Bob, University of Nebraska. Well, no, Penn State.
Penn State.
Yeah. So he's got to get better with his hang time, and his net's got to. There's no question. The net has got to be better. I mean, Bob, the dude's 6'3", you know, and 207 pounds. And let me just take a look here. Like, in the playoffs, Bob, against Houston in the playoff game, his net was 25. You know, against Kansas City, it was pretty good, 46.6. So, you know, he punted well in that game. He had five punts, averaged 50 yards. And then against Houston, four punts, average 42 with a net of 25. So that was not good. But some of his nets in some of the games, Bob, like against Miami, 35, San Fran, 39, Jacksonville, 37. That was 3 weeks in a row. I mean, he didn't start out the season, or he ended the season poorly, Bob, is what he did. And then the Charger game, 32. His net was... The best net he had was against Seattle. Otherwise, a lot of them, Bob, they're not good enough to win with.
Now, with the new kickoff rules, how does this affect Tucker? I mean, and you mentioned the leg maybe diminishing in strength, not to the point where he can't kick 40-yarders. Does maybe Jordan Stout get an opportunity to boom one of those things if they need that long field goal to stay alive somewhere?
I doubt it. They're going to be like every other team, Bob. You know, you're going to Hail Mary it or do something.
The new
kickoff, it's about accuracy. That's what it's. It's not about hang time. It's about accuracy. It's about putting a ball in a corner, putting it down there on about the 3-yard line, you know, on the right hash or left hash over in that vicinity, so the guy can't run across the field. So, I mean, they've got to tackle, you know, and Tucker's not the biggest guy, and he's... When you come out and say those kind of things, Bob, he's not crazy about doing that. Whereas Stout's a bigger guy, but is he as accurate? No, probably not. So I would think Tucker's going to do it. And Bob, when you look at it, all right, let's just say the first few times that you kick it down there and the guy runs it back out to the 40 both times. And you just tell it, hey, Tucker, screw it, man. Just put it in the end zone. They get the ball in the 30. You know, we're better off having it under 30 than the 40 all the time. So just drill it in the end zone.
It's 88-80-1057, the Fan. When we come back, American League East report. Orioles get a game on the Yankees. We'll explain, look at the schedule and standings as well. And we'll talk about the Texas Rangers in town for four with Jared Sandler. He's part of their pre- and post-game coverage on 105.3.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, American League East report on this total request Thursday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. We'll be hearing from him later on in the hour as we get to the fun house. Birds last night break that five-game losing streak 4-2 over the Cleveland Guardians. Gunnar Henderson, Cedric Mullins, Ryan O'Hearn all went deep. Gunnar Henderson, by the way, has now reached base 33 straight times, longest streak since Nick Markakis did it 38 times about 15 years ago. Grayson Rodriguez goes seven strong, picks up his ninth win of the season. As he's had a couple of rough outings. Let's not be living in fantasy land here. Last Friday, as a matter of fact, Orioles went from winning 3-2 to losing 14-3 in a blink of an eye during his start. But I say he deserves all-star consideration. I'm not the manager. Bruce Bochy is, who's in town. Grayson will not pitch in this series, but I'm sure they have enough intel on what he's capable of doing here. And the wins don't matter as much as they used to, as we know, but still they do count to some level. Earn run average is sub four. So I think Grayson Rodriguez, and we talked about it opening the show, Gunner, Adley, Westberg, Kowser was rookie of the month in April. They're the ones that get a lot of attention. We keep forgetting that part of this youth movement that's put the Orioles into World Series contention, Grayson Rodriguez is a big part of it. Yep. And he was a huge part of what they did in the second half of last season. And he's going to be a big part of what they're doing for hopefully many years to come in an Orioles uniform. So the Orioles tonight, Corbin Burnes, 8-3 with a .235 earned run average, taking on Texas. And John Gray, he's 3-3. With a 3-0-3, Texas has lost three in a row, 6-10. We'll get to the standings here in a couple of minutes. Elsewhere in the American League East yesterday, this game took place during the day. Seattle trying to avoid the sweep against the Rays, and old Cal Raleigh broke out the whipping stick.
Swing and drive. There it goes. Way out of here, and the Mariners have the lead. A home run. His ninth is a left-hander.
Cal Raleigh, three-run shot. Root Sports on the call. George Kirby got the win. We talk about the Orioles rotation, kind of a struggle city because of injuries mainly. Seattle might have the best starting rotation in baseball, and Kirby is one of those reasons. Orioles with the win, not only did they break a five-game losing streak, helped them gain a game in the standings because the Mets... Meet the Mets, beat the Mets. Not if you're the Yankees, you're not.
Alvarez looks one out to right. Soto going back. It's over his head. It's out of here. Francisco Alvarez goes the other way for a two-run homer.
Say SNY there. Nolan's out. Said SNY on the call. Francisco Alvarez, 3-for-3. Homer, 3 ribbies. Mets destroy the Yankees 12-2. Aaron Judge went deep.
Yeah.
And I guess that's all that matters. Hey, Aaron Judge hit his 30th homer.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we lost by 10. And they lose the mini series as well. The Mets hit 3 homers in that win. Harrison Bader, second night in a row. He went deep against his former team. So the New York Mets, they've been playing really good baseball here as of late. Again, we'll get to the standings, and we're not going to start getting into the wild card stuff until next week when we get to July 1st, because that's a rule I made for myself. I am a rule breaker, but not my own rules. Mm-hmm. Who am I kidding? I break my own rules all the time. Toronto at Boston suspended in the second inning. They will make that up as part of a day-night doubleheader on August the 26th. In the division, only a couple of games going on today. New York at Toronto. 7:07, Blue Jays, and whatever. How about Vlad Guerrero said, oh, I'd be cool getting traded to New York. Yeah. Oh, so you tell me you wouldn't mind being traded from the last place team to the first place team? You'd be cool with that? Of course he would. The problem there, I guess, if you're a Blue Jays fan and the front office in particular, he's the guy you're supposed to be building this team around. And they have made the playoffs 2 years in a row. And
Bob, when do you trade in the division anyhow?
Especially to a team you're going to be chasing
right
forever. But, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. But Vlad said he'd be cool with it.
Yeah, not whereas, sure. What, 3 years ago I was reading, Bob, or 4 years ago, where he said, I'd rather die first and play for the Yankees. I'll never, ever play for the Yankees. It's a family thing why I won't play for the Yankees.
That was him?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I know Ken Griffey said that way back when. But if you go up to him and go, hey, we're going to trade you to the Rockies. I'm guessing he'd get real uncool with that. Real cool. Real cool. Real quick. Anyway, Rangers at Baltimore tonight, 6:35. Standings in the American League East and beyond as we head into today's action for the games that are available. Yankees have lost 3 in a row, 8 of 10. They have now lost 4 straight series. As a matter of fact, 52-30, still plus 97 run differential, but only a game up on the Orioles, who are 50-30. They've lost 6 of 10 as they break that 5-game losing streak. Boston, 43-37. They won 8 of 10. They're 8 behind New York, 7 behind the Orioles, but in a strong wild card spot. Tampa fell below 500 with the loss yesterday, 40-41. Toronto's 36-43, bringing up the rear in the Central. Cleveland, 8 games up on the Twinkies. Twinkies in Kansas City. By the way, Cleveland is in KC for a 4-game series starting tonight. Minnesota and Kansas City Royals in wild card stuff. Be interesting to see what the Tigers might do if they're looking to jettison some players. I'm going to ask this question again, only get in here. And Vinny, too, and listeners, feel free to check in via the text. Jack Flaherty? No? Yes? No? No? Yes?
Hey. No. It's the best. If Mike Elias thinks he can help him get to the World Series, yes.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that many years down the road, as I become more senile, oh yeah, is that Jack Flaherty did play for the Orioles. Nolan, reunion? Would you meet him at the airport?
Him twice. No, I'm kidding. I think he's probably at the bottom of the list, okay. Just because you already gave up prospects to get him last year. It didn't work out for some reason. So, I mean, he's a better pitcher this year than he was last year at any point. But still, I think bottom of the list.
Hard pass right now.
But like Vinny said, if you swing and miss on everyone else, and he's the last name on the list, I mean, you got to do something. You can't do nothing here.
Well, what you got to decide is he good enough? Is he better than our fourth guys,
I would take him over Suarez.
Oh,
Flaherty, then Irvin. Move Suarez to the bullpen. Because I think Suarez's stuff would play in a setup situation. I'd like to have Tarek Skubal, but I don't think Detroit's going to be doing
it. I think a lot of teams would.
Yeah, that's a weird one, Jackson Holliday, and that would be a fair ask for Kobe Mayo to make that one happen. Seattle! Seattle's 4.5 games up on the red-hot Houston Astros. They've won 3 in a row. Texas coming to Baltimore, 37-43. They've lost 3 straight. They're 4-6 last 10. Phillies 8 games up on the Bravos. Mets have won 3 in a row. Mets are doing really well. They're now at 500. 8 of the last 10. Your boy Murph, he's manager of the year right now in the National League. They won 4 straight, 6 of 10. 48-33. They're 6 up on St. Louis. And in the West, you got the Dodgers have won 4 straight. They're 20 games over 500, 51-31. But Dylan Cease starting to pitch well for the Padres, who have won 3 straight, 7 of 10 there. Everybody else, okay, you better get hot or start unloading some stuff. We'll come back, talk about this defending world champion Rangers in town for the Orioles. Jared Sandler from 105.3. He's the flagship guy, pre and post, and then a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access takes over at 2, live from Pickles Pub. We're outside. It's going to be a beautiful day. Come on by. Say hello.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan. In the heat,
and a blue jean guy. Good evening, Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Little Journey. Chosen by the people. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned for that. We've thrown out some not-so-subtle hints about possible bands. Dr. Serato says Rush, Bobster, Little Alice in Chains, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Heart.
Nolan wants Taylor Swift. I was like, what? Or Justin Bieber, somebody like that. We'll let the people decide. Not that I have anything against the Biebs or Tay-Tay.
Yeah.
I like mashed potatoes, but we're not here to talk about my poor eating habits. Let's talk some Orioles Rangers, defending world champs in town for the first time since last October. He's with 105.3 The Fan, part of the pre- and post-game coverage. Let's bring into the show. Let's welcome in Jared Sandler. Jared, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Hey, thanks, folks. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's, I guess, a tale of two different teams from when we last saw the Rangers back in October on their way to the World Championship, and they kind of stormed through Baltimore, win a couple of interesting games, and then just dropped the hammer in the finale. So Texas, record-wise, obviously a lot different than they were when they won the title. What's been, you know, the record says some things, but there's obviously more layers to it, Jared. What has been the major problem for Texas in the first half of this season?
Yeah, they just can't score, guys. I mean, and, you know, the way it's not just this sport, it's all sports. You go into a season thinking, you solve the puzzle and you know exactly how it's going to play out. And for the Rangers, we all knew that their starting pitching was going to be a big slog and that they'd score a lot of runs and maybe their bullpen would be good. And it just hasn't happened that way at all. Their starting pitching's actually, all things considered, due to, you know, a ton of injuries, been pretty darn good. The bullpen's been inconsistent and the lineup has been, especially, you know, by the standard that they set, the lineup's been bad. They have not been able to consistently score runs. They're not slugging. There's really only one player in their lineup who is playing as well or better than he did last year, and that's Josh Smith. And I don't even remember if Josh Smith was on the roster when the two teams met in the postseason. Now, he's having a great year. He really should be an all-star. I don't know if he'll get that type of love, but you know, everyone else in the lineup, especially Adolis Garcia, has really struggled.
And I know Josh Young got hurt early, and that's been a big blow for them. But you mentioned Garcia, Evan Carter looked like the next Kari Yastrzemski. I mean, all these guys. Jonah Heim was an all-star last year and everything. Former Oriole, by the way. All of that great stuff. So I was going to ask you if there's like one main culprit, but looking at some of these stats, even Corey Seager having a relatively quiet year, and he's like Gunnar Henderson in a lot of ways, or Gunnar's a lot like him, I should say, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, two left-hand hitting, slugging shortstops. You know, Corey's the one that you sort of excuse. You know, he had a late surgery this offseason and busted his tail to be ready for opening day, and is, you know, it's clear when you watch him, he's playing through stuff. And I think that if this team had a 5 or 6 game lead in the division, then, you know, perhaps he would have spent some time on the IL and just try to rest and get right. But they don't. They're chasing now, you know, whereas this time last year they had a +150 run differential, and even though they didn't end up winning the division, June 27th last season they were cruising. I think they had like a 6.5 game lead. But that's not the case. And so he's showing up every day trying to fight through it. But yeah, Adolis Garcia is the X factor in this lineup a lot of times just because he's so streaky. But the reality is, guys, and you know this, when Adley Rutschman struggles, the Orioles lineup's still going to be really good. If Gunnar goes through a 2-week stretch where he struggles, the Orioles lineup's still going to be good, because in this sport, unlike if you lose your quarterback in the NFL or if you lose your premier player, on the basketball court, you can get around. You can get away with, a really good player not performing well or not being in the lineup. I mean, heck, the Braves won a World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr. So really, you can try and identify one guy, but you know, you guys just listed some of the guys, and you know, the list is even larger than that. They're just a bunch of guys not performing up to the expectation. And injuries as well. And hopefully the Rangers will get Josh Young back this weekend. But, missing him has been a huge loss too.
Jared Sandler, 105.3 The Fan, talking about the Texas Rangers in town for a 4-game series. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. John Gray on the hill tonight against Corbin Burns. Numbers, I mean, okay, the wins aren't, you know, the totals don't really matter anymore, but the peripheral stats, the nerd stats, if you will, Jared, are pretty strong, it seems, for him. Tell us what John Gray is bringing to the equation at this stage of his career. Still relatively young, in his early 30s.
Yeah, no, he's been really good. He had a rough start to the season, and then two starts ago against the Mets, he had a rough one. But outside of that, he's been outstanding. Power fastball, even with the power velocity, it's been a pretty hittable pitch, but he's got a great slider. He's got a power slider that gets lots of swings and misses. His fastball, sometimes he gets in trouble because he's inconsistent with his command with that pitch. And it's not one of these high spin rate fastballs that, it just becomes an invisible, but You know, he's got power stuff, and guys with power stuff, you know, plays well. Velocity plays. You know, for every soft tosser out there that has success, there's 10 hard throwers who are able to have success and maybe larger margin for error, right? So the velocity helps him get away with some things, but the slider's really good, and, you know, he's been important for this team. And you know, like I said earlier, the starting pitching, despite the fact that Andrew Heaney's the only starting pitcher who has not been on the IL, and the Rangers have still been without Jacob deGrom and Tyler Mahle, just finally got Max Scherzer back, and he's, I mean, I guess he's still scheduled to pitch tomorrow, but he's just the rest of his season is going to be day to day, basically. You know, they've been able to put together some strong pitching, and John Gray's been a part of that.
Hey, Jared, what would it take for them to go into sell mode?
It's a great question. There's obviously, if you remove context and look at it in a vacuum, I think you obviously look at the Rangers, their record, their standing, and you know, you'd think that, well, why are we even talking about buying? But now you factor in the return of Josh Young, the return of Evan Carter, the return of Tyler Mahle. Let's forget Jacob deGrom because he's not coming back until early to mid-August. So you can't, you know, you can think, okay, that's a bonus, but you're not going to see him before the trade deadline on July 30th. You hope that some of these guys, this long list of guys in the lineup who haven't performed well, that they're going to turn things around. And then also Josh Spores, who's, you know, one of their better relievers, he's hopefully going to be back next week. It's got to be a tough read for Chris Young. Now you factor in that a defending World Series champion, factor in that their division really isn't that strong. This is not the AL East, right? You know, it's crazy that the Orioles, who I still think are the best team in the American League, you know, they're not winning the division because that's such a good division. That's not the AL West. And to get in the wild card, even though the Rangers are not within striking distance right now, all it takes is, you know, a good two-week run, and they're right back in it. So I think the question is maybe more to what degree will they buy. But then again, if they just continue on this path for the next 3-4 weeks, I don't know how Chris Young can't consider that, because they do have some pretty valuable assets. One-year deals with David Robertson, he's been really good. Kirby Yates has been outstanding. Nathan Eovaldi, he is a proven big-game playoff pitcher, and he is a free agent to be with a vesting option that won't hit this year. So, you know, what sort of offers do they get thrown their way for those guys? I think they have to listen. I just think unless they continue down this path, it might be really tough for them to pull the trigger. But, hey, can I ask you guys a question? I'm just curious. The Orioles are obviously in a tremendous position. I remember when the deadline passed last year, I breathed a sigh of relief that the Orioles didn't go out and get a stud pitcher. Now, obviously, I totally understand the reasons why. They're set up with this long window or wide window that, you know, could make them a real threat to go back to back for the first time since the Yankees in the late 90s. I mean, they are so loaded. I just, going through what we went through with the Rangers last year, you realize how tough it is to win. I'm just curious if there was any blowback that the Orioles weren't more aggressive when the American League was wide open and they clearly had a shot.
Last year you're talking about?
Yeah, last year.
Well, Dylan Cease was on their radar, but I think they wanted the left side of the menu, if you know what I'm saying, down on the farm, and Mike Elias was very reluctant to do that. I think they're going to be a little aggressive this year, but the pickings are slim, as you know, Jared, with the quality starting pitchers. I mean, unless, you know, Nathan Eovaldi could pop into their radar, you know, because the Orioles know what he can do up close and personal. I think they're going to be much more aggressive looking to add, because they have three pitchers right now in Means, Bradish, and Wells out for the year with elbow surgery. Dean Kramer hasn't pitched in a month. He's rehabbing tonight in Norfolk, and hopefully be back next week. But yeah, look for the Orioles to certainly be much more aggressive at adding pitching, because the window's open and they want to jump right through it this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's such a fun group to watch.
Hey, hello.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan. In the heat
and a blue jean guy. Good evening, Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday, pick a song, we'll play it. Little Journey, chosen by the people. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned for that. We've thrown out some not-so-subtle hints about possible bands. Dr. Serato says Rush, Bobster, Little Alice in Chains, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Heart.
Nolan wants Taylor Swift. I was like, what? Or Justin Bieber, somebody like that. We'll let the people decide. Not that I have anything against the Biebs or Tay-Tay.
Yeah.
I like mashed potatoes, but we're not here to talk about my poor eating habits. Let's talk some Orioles. Rangers, defending world champs, in town for the first time since last October. He's with 105.3 The Fan, part of the pre- and post-game coverage. Let's bring into the show, let's welcome in Jared Sandler. Jared, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Hey, thanks, Oz. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's, I guess, a tale of two different teams from when we last saw the Rangers back in October on their way to the World Championship, and they kind of stormed through Baltimore, win a couple of interesting games, and then just dropped the hammer in the finale. So Texas, record-wise, obviously a lot different than they were when they won the title. What's been, you know, the record says some things, but there's obviously more layers to it, Jared. What has been the major problem for Texas in the first half of this season?
Yeah, they just can't score, guys. I mean, and, you know, the way it's not just this sport, it's all sports. You go into a season thinking, you solve the puzzle and you know exactly how it's going to play out. And for the Rangers, we all knew that their starting pitching was going to be a big slog and that they'd score a lot of runs and maybe their bullpen would be good. And it just hasn't happened that way at all. Their starting pitching's actually, all things considered, due to, you know, a ton of injuries, been pretty darn good. The bullpen's been inconsistent and the lineup has been, especially, you know, by the standard that they set, the lineup's been bad. They have not been able to consistently score runs. They're not slugging. There's really only one player in their lineup who is playing as well or better than he did last year, and that's Josh Smith. And I don't even remember if Josh Smith was on the roster when the two teams met in the postseason. Now, he's having a great year. He really should be an all-star. I don't know if he'll get that type of love, but you know, everyone else in the lineup, especially Adolis Garcia, has really struggled.
And I know Josh Young got hurt early, and that's been a big blow for them. But you mentioned Garcia. Evan Carter looked like the next Kari Yastrzemski. I mean, all these guys. Jonah Heim was an all-star last year and everything. Former Oriole, by the way. All of that great stuff. So I was going to ask you if there's like one main culprit, but looking at some of these stats, even Corey Seager having a relatively quiet year, and he's like Gunnar Henderson in a lot of ways, or Gunnar's a lot like him, I should say, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, two left-hand hitting, slugging shortstops. You know, Corey's the one that you sort of excuse. You know, he had a late surgery this offseason and busted his tail to be ready for opening day, and is, you know, it's clear when you watch him, he's playing through stuff. And I think that if this team had a 5 or 6 game lead in the division, then, you know, perhaps he would have spent some time on the IL and just try to rest and get right. But they don't. They're chasing now. You know, whereas this time last year they had a +150 run differential, and even though they didn't end up winning the division, June 27th last season they were cruising. I think they had like a 6.5 game lead. But that's not the case. And so he's showing up every day trying to fight through it. But yeah, Adolis Garcia is the X factor in this lineup a lot of times just because he's so streaky. But the reality is, guys, and you know this, when Adley Rutschman struggles, the Orioles lineup's still going to be really good. If Gunnar goes through a 2-week stretch where he struggles, the Orioles lineup's still going to be good, because in this sport, unlike if you lose your quarterback in the NFL or if you lose your premier player, on the basketball court, you can get around. You can get away with, a really good player not performing well or not being in the lineup. I mean, heck, the Braves won a World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr. So really, you can try and identify one guy, but you know, you guys just listed some of the guys, and you know, the list is even larger than that. They're just a bunch of guys not performing up to the expectation. And injuries as well. And hopefully the Rangers will get Josh Young back this weekend. But, missing him has been a huge, huge loss too.
Jared Sandler, 105.3 The Fan, talking about the Texas Rangers in town for a 4-game series. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. John Gray on the hill tonight against Corbin Burns. Numbers, I mean, okay, the wins aren't, you know, the totals don't really matter anymore, but the peripheral stats, the nerd stats, if you will, Jared, are pretty strong, it seems, for him. Tell us what John Gray's bringing to the equation at this stage of his career. Still relatively young, in his early 30s.
Yeah, no, he's been really good. He had a rough start to the season, and then two starts ago against the Mets, he had a rough one. But outside of that, he's been outstanding. Power fastball, even with the power velocity, it's been a pretty hittable pitch, but he's got a great slider. He's got a power slider that gets lots of swings and misses. His fastball, he's just – sometimes he gets in trouble because he's inconsistent with his command with that pitch. And it's not one of these high spin rate fastballs that, just becomes an invisible. But, he's got power stuff, and guys with power stuff, plays well. Velocity plays. You know, for every soft tosser out there that has success, there's 10 hard throwers who are able to have success and maybe larger margin for error, right? So the velocity helps him get away with some things, but the slider's really good. And, he's been important for this team. And like I said earlier, the starting pitching, despite the fact that Andrew Heaney's the only starting pitcher who has not been on the IL, and the Rangers have still been without Jacob deGrom and Tyler Mahle, just finally got Max Scherzer back, and I guess he's still scheduled to pitch tomorrow, but he's just the rest of his season is going to be day-to-day, basically. They've been able to put together some strong pitching, and John Gray's been a part of that.
Hey, Jared, what would it take for them to go into sell mode?
It's a great question. There's obviously, if you remove context and look at it in a vacuum, I think you obviously look at the Rangers, their record, their standing, and you'd think that, well, why are we even talking about buying? But now you factor in the return of Josh Young, the return of Evan Carter, the return of Tyler Mahle. Let's forget Jacob deGrom because he's not coming back until early to mid-August. So you can't, you can think, okay, that's a bonus, but you're not going to see him before the trade deadline on July 30th. You hope that some of these guys, this long list of guys in the lineup who haven't performed well, that they're going to turn things around. And then also Josh Spores, who's, one of their better relievers, he's hopefully going to be back next week. It's got to be a tough read for Chris Young. Now you factor in that they're defending World Series champions, factor in that their division really isn't that strong. This is not the AL East, right? It's crazy that the Orioles, who I still think are the best team in the American League, they're not winning the division because that's such a good division. That's not the AL West. And to get in the wild card, even though the Rangers are not within striking distance right now, all it takes is, a good two-week run, and they're right back in it. So I think the question is maybe more to what degree will they buy. But then again, if they just continue on this path for the next 3-4 weeks, I don't know how Chris Young can't consider that, because they do have some pretty valuable assets. One-year deals with David Robertson, he's been really good. Kirby Yates has been outstanding. Nathan Eovaldi, he is a proven big-game playoff pitcher, and he is a free agent to be with a vesting option that won't hit this year. So, what sort of offers do they get thrown their way for those guys? I think they have to listen. I just think unless they continue down this path, it might be really tough for them to pull the trigger. But, hey, can I ask you guys a question? I'm just curious. The Orioles are obviously in a tremendous position. I remember when the deadline passed last year, I breathed a sigh of relief that the Orioles didn't go out and get a stud pitcher. Now, obviously, I totally understand the reasons why. They're set up with this long window or wide window that, could make them a real threat to go back-to-back for the first time since the Yankees in the late 90s. I mean, they are so loaded. I just – going through what we went through with the Rangers last year, you realize how tough it is to win. I'm just curious if there was any blowback that the Orioles weren't more aggressive when the American League was wide open and they clearly had a shot.
Last year you're talking about.
Yeah, last year.
Well, Dylan Cease was on their radar, but I think they wanted the left side of the menu, if you know what I'm saying, down on the farm. And Mike Elias was very reluctant to do that. I think they're going to be a little aggressive this year, but the pickings are slim, as you know, Jared, with the quality starting pitchers. I mean, unless, Nathan Eovaldi could pop into their radar, because the Orioles know what he can do up close and personal. I think they're going to be much more aggressive looking to add, because they have three pitchers right now in Means, Bradish, and Wells out for the year with elbow surgery. Dean Kramer hasn't pitched in a month. He's rehabbing tonight in Norfolk, and hopefully he'll be back next week. But, yeah, look for the Orioles to certainly be much more aggressive at adding pitching, because the window's open and they want to jump right through it this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's such a fun group to watch, and separate of my Rangers ties, just from a baseball standpoint, I'd love to see that team make a deep run, because a lot of young, exciting players, and I'm sure you guys are having a blast watching them.
Real quick, last thing for you, Jared Sandler joining us, 105.3 The Fan in Texas. I saw in your Twitter feed, or X feed, you mentioned David Clyde made his debut. I'm 59, full disclosure. Vinny's, I don't want to share that with you.
65.
Yeah, but We remember that. And that guy, the book, Season in Hell, whatever it was, about the Rangers with Whitey Herzog and Billy Hunter. How does David Clyde's name still resonate there with Rangers fans? Maybe the ultimate what if they would have just let him be a kid instead of throwing him out there at 18 years old.
No, it's a cautionary tale. Now, it depends on who you ask. Now, I'll tell you, I'm 35. So I was not born when this happened, but as someone who grew up in DFW, grew up a Rangers fan, heard about David Clyde from a pretty early stage. And then last year, he actually came to the ballpark. It was 50 years, this year being 51. And I think he still has some regret. And I think he maybe had some animosity to the way it was all handled. Now, some people will tell you that helped save baseball in Texas because they got terrible attendance and the teams weren't good. And it helped pick up attendance numbers. That was back in the day when starting pitchers went deep into games and people would buy a ticket based on who was starting, that game. Nowadays, you can do it, but you might see the guy for five innings and then see you later. Other people don't look at it as favorably and they say that, how the Rangers ruined him and it was a selfish act that compromised his career. David Clyde, maybe to help him sleep at night, has said that, maybe there were things that he wasn't ready for and wouldn't have been ready for, whether he came up then or 3 years down the road. But it's definitely a cautionary tale that, probably doesn't get told a lot outside. I'm impressed that you guys, even recall the book. But, I don't know how many people around the league know about David Clyde, but certainly in the Rangers organization and in the Metroplex, it's a name that resonates more with the bad than the good, unfortunately, with the way his career played out. But some people will tell you that it played a big role in making sure that baseball and DFW didn't flop shortly after making the move from Washington.
Jared Sandler, 105.3 The Fan, talking about the Texas Rangers and David Clyde. Jared, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the series with the Orioles, and we'll talk to you in the second half of the season there.
Hey, I hope you guys take it easy on the Rangers right now. They need a couple wins. The Orioles have some losses to spare.
No mercy. Just coming off a five-game losing streak. Somebody's paying.
See you guys. Right.
Thanks, Jared.
Jared Sandler, everybody. We'll come back. Funhouse. Tell you who's featured artist Friday. Going to be jamming, too. And then Inside Access live from Pickles coming up at 2.
Sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total Request Thursday. Been asking you to pick the tunes, and you have. Doing a hell of a job. Also been asking you to get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday, and we've come to that time, Nolan McGraw, where we're going to reveal. Everyone grab your hats. Who's this?
Will Smith.
Are we getting jiggy with it?
No, Summertime.
Oh, where the spark of the grill, smell of the grill sparks up the nostalgia. It's my favorite part of the song. Every time I grill, told you the other day, and I smell that, said to my wife, smell of the grill sparks up the nostalgia. She goes, shut up and don't burn the hamburger, which is exactly what happened on Saturday, but we digress. All right, who are we jamming to tomorrow?
Well, lots of good votes. Appreciate all the votes. If you don't hear your winner here, I wrote them down. We'll probably get them in the coming weeks.
Okay.
Because there were so many good suggestions, but... the texters did like Vinny, Dr. Serato's suggestion there.
Rush?
Rush is our featured artist tomorrow.
All right.
You're living in the limelight.
Yeah.
Dr. Serato. Tom Sawyer says hello. You ready to go to the funhouse?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here on the Orioles. Texter says the media might not be propping it up, but I believe the O's players have a chip on their shoulder facing the team that eliminated them last year, plus a pair of nationally televised games over the weekend. They want to get their revenge and show off in the process.
I hope that they do show off and get revenge and make they massacre the Texas Rangers over the next 4 days. They got that relief thing with the win yesterday. Maybe Rashawn comes out tomorrow. He'll leave his panic button home. But if Corbin Burnes gets rocked, I'm sure he'll be covered in panic buttons. But all right, to some level. But if Cleveland was coming in, or excuse me, Texas was coming in like Cleveland did,
right?
First place and got a bunch of great things. Oh, this would be a huge series. Maybe ESPN would even notice.
Well, I think Saturday sold out.
WNBA.
I think Friday and Saturday are sold out, Bob.
I'm talking national.
Yeah.
This texter says, even if Kramer comes back soon, I just don't know how to feel about him in the long run. He's better than Suarez. That's all that matters in the short term. But whoever the O's trade for has to slot in third behind Burns and Grayson. Are we really confident in Kramer as the third guy in a playoff series?
Well, he pitched the third game against Texas and got clobbered. That was supposed to be John Means, and we all know how that turned out prior to the ALDS. Again, Mike Elias knows they need pitching, and Mike Elias is the guy that's actually working to acquire it. I mean, I don't know. I can't, what else do you want me to tell you?
How many times?
I mean, it is what it is.
How many times, Bob, do you think he said no to, like, callers? They want, yeah. What do you need? Oh, I need this. No, ain't happening.
Jack Flaherty again.
Yeah.
This texter here on the Ravens, we were talking special teams a little bit earlier. This texter says, I don't think I'll ever have any concerns with Justin Tucker. Stats speak for themselves. Don't forget that a handful of those misses were the result of blocked kicks. I'd be interested to see how many times he's flat out missed, wide left or wide right. Can't be many at all.
Well, the thing is with blocked kicks, when you're kicking from 50 plus, you've got to drive it more, you know? So part of it is the kicker's fault too. I mean, it is what it is, because to get that length, you know, you can't hit it up. And you just, like, think about a drive, you know, with a golf club, you got to hit more of a line drive type thing to get the distance on it, and guys can block it.
Yeah, and like Vinny said earlier, he's been so good and so consistent. When he misses, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Especially the playoff game against the Bills when he missed two.
Yeah.
It's like, what, are we living in an alternate universe here?
I seem to remember him after the 67-yarder against the Lions a couple of years ago. You know, they asked him, I mean, how do you prepare when you're walking on the field? There's no precedent for that. You've never made a 67-yarder in a career. And he said what Vinny was saying, well, you just go out there and kind of, it's all feel. I know I got to keep it low. I just hope I can get it over the line.
Don't you think he'd like to kick the game-winning field goal against Kansas City in week one? After what Mahomes and Kelsey did to him prior to the game?
Well,
shaming him?
Well,
his own dojo, no less.
He'd probably rather have it where the Ravens are up like by 21.
All right, last one here. Eric in Bel Air says, random idea, maybe a bad idea. Should the NCAA start revoking scholarship money for players who choose to sit out late season games or bowl games to try to keep things competitive? For example, marquee starting quarterback or any star player that has high draft status would sit out of a minor or lower bowl. He has failed to live up to his athletic commitment at that point, and he would be on the hook for tuition.
Well, most of them aren't going to school after that anyhow.
Right.
You know,
with all the NIL money.
I can't blame them. I mean, you don't want to get hurt for a meaningless game. None of the guys, that's why I think having the 16-team playoff, I think it's awesome, because you're going to have many more competitive bowl games.
Yeah, the first one, and I'm sure there have been previous, but Nick Bosa's like the first guy I remember, because he got hurt for Ohio State, then he tapped out after like the fourth week.
Notre Dame kid went to Dallas, was supposed to be a top five pick.
But he blew out his knee in the bowl game. But I'm saying Nick Bosa's the first one that peaced out during the season, like, I ain't even worried about coming back. I'm going to get ready for the NFL. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow, jamming out to Rush, Inside Access, live from Pickles Pub. And then at 5:30, me and Ryan Ripken will be there. Ed Nolan, too, with Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. For now, Blasted Smith. Pick up at 2.
Sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total Request Thursday. Been asking you to pick the tunes, and you have. Doing a hell of a job. Also been asking you to get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday, and we've come to that time. Nolan McGraw, where we're going to reveal. Everyone grab your hats. Who's this?
Will Smith.
Are we getting jiggy with it?
No, Summertime.
Oh. Where the spark of the grill, smell of the grill sparks up the nostalgia. It's my favorite part of the song. Every time I grill, told you the other day, and I smell that, said to my wife, smell of the grill sparks up the nostalgia. She goes, shut up and don't burn the hamburger, which is exactly what happened on Saturday, but we digress. All right, who are we jamming to tomorrow?
Well, lots of good votes. Appreciate all the votes. If you don't hear your winner here, I wrote them down. We'll probably get them in the coming weeks.
Okay.
Because there were so many good suggestions. But the texters did like Vinny, Dr. Serato's suggestion there.
Rush?
Rush is our featured artist tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
You're living in the limelight.
Yeah.
Dr. Serato. Tom Sawyer says hello. You ready to go to the funhouse?
Sure.
Let's do it. So I'm sure.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
1057 The Fan.
Start with this one here on the Orioles. Texter says the media might not be propping it up, but I believe the O's players have a chip on their shoulder facing the team that eliminated them last year, plus a pair of nationally televised games over the weekend. They want to get their revenge and show off in the process.
I hope that they do show off and get revenge and make they massacre the Texas Rangers over the next 4 days. They got that relief thing with the win yesterday. Maybe Rashawn comes out tomorrow. He'll leave his panic button home, but... And if Corbin Burns gets rocked, I'm sure he'll be covered in panic buttons. But, all right, to some level. But if Cleveland was coming in, or excuse me, Texas was coming in like Cleveland did.
Right.
First place and got a bunch of great things. Oh, this would be a huge series. Maybe ESPN would even notice.
Well, I think Saturday's sold out.
WNBA.
I think Friday and Saturday are sold out, Bob.
I'm talking national.
Yeah.
This texter says, even if Kramer comes back soon, I just don't know how to feel about him in the long run. He's better than Suarez. That's all that matters in the short term. But whoever the O's trade for has to slot in third behind Burns and Grayson. Are we really confident in Kramer as the third guy in a playoff series?
Well, he pitched the third game against Texas and got clobbered. That was supposed to be John Means, and we all know how that turned out prior to the ALDS. Again, Mike Elias knows they need pitching, and Mike Elias is the guy that's actually working to acquire it. I mean, I don't know. I can't, what else do you want me to tell you?
How many times?
I mean, it is what it is.
How many times, Bob, do you think he said no to, like, callers? They want, yeah. What do you need? Oh, I need this. No, ain't happening.
Jack Flaherty again.
Yeah.
This texter here on the Ravens, we were talking special teams a little bit earlier. This texter says, I don't think I'll ever have any concerns with Justin Tucker. Stats speak for themselves. Don't forget that a handful of those misses were the result of blocked kicks. I'd be interested to see how many times he's flat out missed, wide left or wide right. Can't be many at all.
Well, the thing is with blocked kicks, when you're kicking from 50 plus... You've got to drive it more, you know. So part of it is the kicker's fault, too. I mean, it is what it is, because to get that length, you know, you can't hit it up. And you just, like, think about a drive, you know, with a golf club. You got to hit more of a line drive type thing to get the distance on it, and guys can block it.
Yeah, and like Vinny said earlier, he's been so good and so consistent. When he misses, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Especially the playoff game against the Bills when he missed two.
Yeah.
It's like, what, are we living in an alternate universe here?
I seem to remember him after the 67-yarder against the Lions a couple years ago. You know, they asked him, I mean, how do you prepare when you're walking on the field? There's no precedent for that. You've never made a 67-yarder in a career. And he said what Vinny was saying. We just go out there and kind of, it's all feel. I know I got to keep it low. I just hope I can get it over the line.
Don't you think he'd like to kick the game-winning field goal against Kansas City in week one? After what Mahomes and Kelsey did to him prior to the game?
Well,
shaming him his own dojo, no less.
He'd probably rather have it where the Ravens are up like by 21.
All right, last one here. Eric in Bel Air says, random idea, maybe a bad idea. Should the NCAA start revoking scholarship money for players who choose to sit out late season games or bowl games to try to keep things competitive? For example, marquee starting quarterback or any star player that has high draft status would sit out of a minor or lower bowl. He has failed to live up to his athletic commitment at that point, and he would be on the hook for tuition.
Well, most of them aren't going to school after that anyhow.
Right.
You know,
with all the NIL
money. I can't blame them. I mean, you don't want to get hurt for a meaningless game. None of the guys, that's why I think having the 16-team playoff, I think it's awesome, because you're going to have many more competitive bowl games.
Yeah, the first one, and I'm sure there have been previous, but Nick Bosa is like the first guy, remember, because he got hurt for Ohio State, then he tapped out after like the fourth week.
Notre Dame kid went to Dallas, was supposed to be a top five pick.
But he blew out his knee in the bowl game. But I'm saying Nick Bosa is the first one that peaced out during the season, like, I ain't even worried about coming back. I'm going to get ready for the NFL. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow, jamming out to Rush, Inside Access, live from Pickles Pub. And then at 5:30, me and Rod Ripken will be there. Ed Nolan, too, with Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. For now, Blast and Smith.